Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We do have open lines right now, and we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That number is 844-322-2742. We're talking about Jesus, the birth of Christ, this wonderful season that we're in right now, and it really is all about Jesus. And those who have become followers of Jesus, they're marked by a sense of freedom. That's what Jesus has come to do, to set the captives free. As a matter of fact, that's what he explained in his very first sermon. He went into the synagogue there in Nazareth, his hometown, the town that he grew up in, and he stood up, and they gave the scroll to him, and it was from the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolled it, and he found this particular place in the scroll. It's Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And he read it, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. You can only imagine. I mean, yes. Just the power in which he read it. I mean, just the sound of his words must have been just incredibly intriguing to the ears of those listening that day. So, and he sat down and he began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In a very few short sentences, Jesus laid out his mission. Why is he here? Why did he come? Well, he came to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to release the oppressed, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to give recovery of sight for the blind. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the marks of those who are true followers of Christ is freedom. They're experiencing freedom. And we have a wonderful lady that has been coming to our Bible studies here in Dallas and listening in conferences. And boy, she has experienced some freedom in her life. And she gave us a letter here recently. And I know, Richard, you're going to share it with our listeners. But it's quite moving to see the freedom that she's experiencing now.
Yeah, it's especially so because she included this letter in a Christmas card to the ministry. And then when you realize, if you knew her, how much is behind the words that she writes. And here's what she said. "Dear brothers at Basic Gospel, this is a first in many years, so enjoy, because this card is sent to my friends in Christ. As you know, I was a member of an organization that did not observe Christmas. It was considered one of those pagan holidays. I regret that my children and I missed out on so many family gatherings. But now, I can send Christmas cards." This is the first Christmas card. "I can send Christmas cards, buy Christmas gifts, decorate, and enjoy the Christmas season without any guilt of doing so. I even have a Christmas wreath on my front door thanks to a good friend's daughter. I look at it several times a day, giving thanks that I know the gospel and can enjoy Christmas. I can be part of the celebration, Jesus Christ's birthday. I love each and every one of you at Basic Gospel, and thank you for being part of my life. Love in Christ, Bonnie."
Boy, that is just an incredible testimony. Somebody
it
that's
is.
Never celebrated Christmas has always looked at that as a pagan holiday. And any thought of buying her kids gifts or doing something in line with Christmas celebration just brought fear and guilt to the surface, and it just crippled her. And she's never had joy during the Christmas season until just recently. And we just never know how strong a grip these old traditions have on us. Uh-huh. But when we hear this gospel, and this gospel starts to really resonate, and we start believing that it's actually true, we see those grips that were so tight starting to loosen, and we start experiencing freedom. And that's all a part of this discipleship process, this hearing, believing, and living. And we see in Bonnie this sheer joy being lived out in her life. I mean, she's got the biggest grin on her face. Her whole countenance has changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Basic Gospel is all about. We're here to connect people to the love of Christ, to give them an opportunity to really believe what this gospel message is so that they can experience freedom in their lives. They can be released from all that oppression that they've experienced, either from sin, either from religious tradition, all of the things that are out there that tend to weigh very heavily on us. We can be released from that through this gospel message. And so I want to say thank you to our listeners who stand with us, absolutely, who support this broadcast, because you are a part of writing this story of being involved in Bonnie's life in such a way that she's experiencing freedom. That's worth an investment. That's worth supporting a ministry like this. And so we encourage you to do so at this particular time of the year. If you haven't given to Basic Gospel, we encourage you to do so now. We certainly need your help. We want you to join in with what God is doing in building disciples around this world. All the information on how to support Basic Gospel is on our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and give a contribution today. We would greatly appreciate it.
And if you've got a story of freedom that has happened in your life as a result of Jesus, please share it with us, because I'll guarantee you there are other people out there who need to hear your story, because it's their story.
Absolutely. And you can do that very easily simply by sending your story to bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. We love to hear those testimonies. They're a great encouragement to us, and they're a great encouragement to the Basic Gospel team, this circle of disciples that God is raising up and building, who are helping build this particular outreach. Well, now we do have some open lines available, 844-322-2742. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now if you have a testimony about your freedom in Christ that you would like to share today. We would love to hear from you on that. If you have another question about a particular situation in your life or a Bible passage that is troubling you, go ahead and call. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Well, let's start today, Richard, in McLean, Virginia, and talk with Chris, listening to us on our great affiliate, WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Bob, Richard, and Bob. You might know me better as Chris from Fairfax, Virginia, but I worked a little later than usual, so I'm calling you from a different place on my way home. Actually, I'm in Vienna right now. But my question to you guys is, what do you do when you just don't have faith? I mean, my faith has to be like at an all-time low right now. And there are some places in the Bible where Jesus rebukes his disciples for having little faith. But then there's other passages in the New Testament where it says that faith can only come through Jesus. So my question is, how much of it is up to us and how much of it is up to Jesus?
Well, Chris, that's a great question. You know, as the writer of Hebrews states it, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that's why the encouragement is to keep our eyes on Christ. I think one of the prayers that you can adopt in a situation like this is, Lord, help my unbelief. And you're putting it back on his shoulders to take care of it. A lot of times when we get down on ourselves and we say, hey, we don't have very much faith at this moment, we're really getting our eyes on our circumstances. We're getting our eyes on ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, we tend to see all the negative about ourselves. And that really puts us on a downward spiral. To break out of that requires us to get our eyes back on Jesus and allow him to be the author and perfecter. He's going to bring our faith to maturity. He's promised that, and we can count on him to do that. So right now, Chris, you seem to be at a weak moment. What I would encourage you to do is simply what Paul did, to rejoice in your weaknesses so that his power can be made complete in you. His grace is sufficient, and I think you're at a perfect position to be able to see that more clearly than maybe you've ever had before.
Yes.
So I guess my next question is, why do you think Jesus rebuked his disciples for having little faith? Do you think like it was a test to see like what would they do with it? Like, okay, are you going to put this back on me where it belongs? What do you think about that?
Well, I think they kept missing the message. You know, here Jesus presented himself, and he said, I'm the answer. And he did all of these miracles. He calmed the storm, and yet they still were terrified. They still didn't have full faith. And I think it's just part of that process. Of course, you know, the cross had not occurred. The resurrection had occurred. The giving of the Spirit had not occurred. So they were trying to muster up faith, you know, on their own. But faith is always tied to the object, and the object of our faith is Jesus Christ and his word. And there was a disconnect between what they were hearing and what they were applying in their day-to-day lives. It's kind of interesting, again, in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews gives the illustration of the Jews in the wilderness, and how they stumbled in the wilderness, and 23,000 died, and all of that. And he said, here's the reason: they heard the message, but they did not combine it with faith. So they simply let it go in one ear and out the other, and then they paid attention to their circumstances.
Yes.
Not the presence of God within their midst. And I think that's what the disciples were doing as well. They kept their eyes on their circumstances instead of on Jesus Christ himself. But all that changed, didn't it, once Jesus raised from the dead and gave his Spirit. Boy, you see a whole different lot of guys once that occurred, especially in Peter.
One more question, if it's okay. Do you have any advice for how to keep your eyes on Jesus when it's just so hard? Because there's so many distractions in the world. There's so much, like, you know, getting into this performance trap and, oh, I screwed up, I'm a failure. And, like, it's so hard to keep your eyes on Jesus sometimes. Like, what do you do then?
Well, Chris, I think it gets down to an attitude of thanksgiving. Lord, in the midst of this circumstance, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to thank you for what I know to be true. I'm going to thank you for what you have done for me through your death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to thank you that you're alive, living in my heart. I'm going to thank you that you've taken away my sins. I thank you that you've declared me to be righteous in your sight, that you've justified me, you've sanctified me, you've reconciled me, you've given me a new identity. So I think when you stop and say, Lord, it's time to give thanks. It's time to just recognize what is true and to give thanks. I think that turns the tide. I think that puts a stop to all the negative thinking and moves you in a completely different direction. It's kind of interesting. I just talked to a couple this week, and they were struggling in their marriage, and it was very, very difficult, and lots of anger and lots of emotion being sent back and forth. And so I just encouraged them to give thanks for this next week. And when I talked to them, I mean, they were completely different people because their whole focus had changed. And I think it was that attitude of thanksgiving that helped them get their eyes back on Christ. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. And we have a great little resource, Your Identity in Christ. And let me put you on hold, and we'll tell you how you can pick that up, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, let me follow up on that a little bit. I resemble Chris way too often. I'm naturally wired, have always been my whole life, naturally wired as a perfectionist. And it's so easy to... You know, everything can be going well, and one little thing happens that I didn't do correctly. And all of a sudden, I start using I am statements about myself. I am a failure. I am not perfect. I am all these things. And it's very difficult to have faith when I am all these bad things. And that giving thanks issue is critical. And in fact, it's finally gotten down to the point where I have to say, well, thank you, Lord, for letting me wallow here for a little bit, because once again, you've demonstrated that you're completely sufficient. And then he pulls you back up out of the muck, and you start moving ahead again.
Yeah. To say thanks is really to express faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, that is one of the telltale signs that faith is really operating in your life. Whenever you're giving thanks to the Lord, that is an expression, a tangible expression of your faith, your dependency, your trust, your reliance, your abiding in the living Christ.
Yeah.
So it is key. I mentioned a great resource for Chris.
Yes.
It's a pamphlet that we've put together, 42 truths that can overflow your heart with thankfulness. They're just scriptures, and it's free. You can go online and request it at basicgospel.net, or you can call Billy at our customer service line, 844-412-2742, and request a copy, and we would love to put that in your hands. It's a great tool for you to keep, put in your Bible, pull it out, you know, daily, weekly, that sort of thing. It's also a wonderful resource to share with others. So just download that at basicgospel.net. Right now, we do have some open lines at 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. If you have something on your mind, we would love to talk with you about it. So again, call 844-322-2742.
Now, we've got an email question here that came in a while back, and I think it's worth looking at it, especially in the context of what we've been just talking about in the Christmas season. This person says, I seldom hear you refer to or preach from the Old Testament. Why? Well, I'd like to start the answer by saying I respectfully disagree. We constantly refer back to the Old Testament because it was pointing forward to Jesus. But there's a way in which we use the Old Testament that I think, Bob, you explain really well and why we do it the way we do it.
Well, the Old Testament is simply unfolding the story of Jesus. So as the writer of Hebrews puts it, the law is merely a shadow.
Yes.
Of the things that are coming. They're not the realities themselves. So when we look at the Passover feast in the Old Testament, that is a picture of what Christ, who became the ultimate Passover lamb, was going to accomplish for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. When we read other things, like some look at the other festivals, they are all shadows of what Christ was going to bring to the table and fulfill in himself. We see 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the person and work of Jesus, 15 of them specifically around the birth of Christ. And we find those being fulfilled in him all along his life, just like this passage that we read earlier in the program. Jesus saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all of that was to point us forward to this great new covenant that we live in today. That's God's end goal for each and every one of us. It wasn't the old covenant, because that old covenant really was a ministry of condemnation and death. That's how Paul described it in 2 Corinthians 3. So that isn't where God wants to leave us. He wants to make us alive. And that new life is available in the new. But he had to show us first that we were dead in trespasses and sins before we could receive life.
Yes.
In Jesus. So that Old Testament had a wonderful purpose. That Old Covenant had a wonderful purpose. But once that purpose is fulfilled, the Old Covenant really steps aside.
Yes.
And gives way to Jesus.
And the joyfully leading. So, if
absolutely.
I can say it that way.
Absolutely. Many folks, complain when they hear about the grace, quote, message. It's really a Jesus message.
Yes.
It's all about him. And you say, well, when you talk about this new covenant, you seem to be diminishing the old. Well, that's not the case at all, because in bringing forth this new covenant, all the Old Testament prophets are up, you know, in God's presence, just giving glory and praises, and because what they wrote about is being carried out in these new covenant believers down here. I mean, Moses looked forward, and when he saw the day of Jesus, he rejoiced, and he's rejoicing today. Why? Because that's what God moved him to write about. And so when we honor this new covenant, when we really embrace this new covenant and live out the promises of the new covenant, all of the Old Testament saints are behind us shouting, saying, go, go, go. That's exactly why we wrote, so that you could experience what you're experiencing today in Christ Jesus, the fullness, not just the shadow like we experience, but the real thing. Embrace it, enjoy it, take hold of it, live it to the fullest, and we'll all be right there with you saying hallelujah.
Yeah. So if anybody out there wants to know how to study the Old Testament, the first thing you do is understand who Jesus is and understand what we have in him because of this new covenant that we live in, and then go back and explain your favorite Old Testament passages in the context of the new covenant. What was fulfilled? What does it say to me about who Jesus is? And what a wonderful study.
Yeah, I like to tell people, whenever you go into the Word of God, whether it's the New Testament, Old Testament, put on your Jesus glasses.
Yeah.
Because that's who you're trying to see in this Word of God. It truly is God's testimony about Jesus from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And if you're not seeing Jesus on every page of the Scripture, you're not reading it correctly. You have a wrong viewpoint, a wrong lens, a wrong perspective. Take all of those off and put on your Jesus glasses.
Absolutely.
You're going to see the message,
and you're
going to experience this new covenant to the full.
Yes.
Well, 1-844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and call. We have just a few minutes left in today's program. Want to remind our listeners of our year-end challenge, $213,000. That is our target before the end of the year happens. So if you can help us meet that goal, we would certainly appreciate that. That would get us on solid footing at the end of the year and give us the momentum to move forward into 2015. There are so many people out there who need to hear this good news. There's so many people out there that need to be incorporated in this discipleship process of hearing, believing, and living out the good news. You know, the gospel isn't just about salvation. It's not just about that point in time where our hearts respond to a message and we go from death to life. The gospel message is an eternal thing.
Yes.
Once we enter into it, we will learn to live out that gospel message in deeper and more impactful ways. And as we do, we learn to impact our communities, our churches, our families, our friends, as God lives his life through us, through his Spirit. So this gospel message just isn't about salvation. It's not just the door that gets us into the kingdom. I mean, it is the door, but once you go through the door, the gospel becomes everything. So we're asking you to help us get people incorporated in this hear, believe, live discipleship process. It is a worthy cause to support. We need your help. So go ahead and join with us. All the information on how you can give, how you can be a part of this Basic Gospel Circle is available online at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to be a part of this, and we would be greatly honored. Let me just end the program again by reading this passage that Jesus spoke about in his very first sermon. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus Christ, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Has the Lord proclaimed freedom to you in such a way that you're experiencing it in your life? Has he opened your spiritually blind eyes so that you can see the glory of his grace, the glory of his truth? Has he released you from the oppression that you've experienced in your life? Have you recognized that you are in the Lord's favor because of Jesus Christ? That's what this gospel message is all about. Those are the touch points that this gospel message has in each of our lives. And it's our prayer that you are experiencing this freedom to the max. That's the reason Christ came. to set you free. Well, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. For Richard, Bob, and the whole team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.